The old school bell tells us that it's time for session number 14 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. We're looking at the Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam for the year of 1922. And we are in the midst of the lesson he wrote for January 29th of 1922. It's the story about Elijah in Naboth's vineyard. Now, we're almost through with the lesson, and he's drawing some conclusions here, so let me go over what had happened. You see, wicked King Ahab desired Naboth's vineyard, but Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. So his evil wife, that's Ahab's evil wife, the Queen Jezebel, trumped up charges against Naboth and had him and all his sons put to death so there would be no heirs, and then told Ahab, "You can go down and possess this vineyard." And as Ahab walked into the vineyard that he had unlawfully taken from Naboth, there met Elijah. And Elijah let him know he wasn't getting away with this. And he said that the dogs that licked up the blood of Naboth would lick up his blood. Now the golden text for this lesson is Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sins will find you out. And I'm going to begin reading now on page 45 of Elam's notes on their Sunday school lesson. And here's what Elam said. We should heed the golden text. Elijah declared the doom of Ahab and Jezebel. One, as stated in 1 Kings 21 and verse 19, the dog should lick the blood of Ahab's blood in the place where they had licked the blood of Naboth. And two, as the house or dynasty of Jeroboam and the house or dynasty of Baasha had been destroyed, so would God destroy Ahab's house, cutting off every man child and him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. And number three, the dog should not simply lick Jezebel's blood, but should eat her body by the rampart of Jezreel. And number four, him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heavens eat. That is 1 Kings 21, 21 through 24. They should not even be buried. Upon hearing this, Ahab humbled himself before God. He rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went softly. God said because Ahab had done this, he would not bring this evil in Ahab's day, but he would bring it in the days of Ahab's sons. Ahab was accidentally killed in battle away from home. Yet the dogs licked his blood from his chariot at the pool of Samaria. But Jehu, when he slew Ahab's son, Joram, ordered his bodies cast into Naboth's vineyard, because God had said this. Jezebel was thrown alive from a window, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall, and some of it upon the horses, and she was trodden underfoot, and the dogs ate her flesh, leaving nothing except her skull of feet and the palms of her hands. Jehu said, "This is the word of the Jehovah which he spake by the servant Elisha the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the body of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. So they shall not say, this is Jezebel." 2 Kings 9:30-37. Jehu then had all the sons of Ahab killed by his great men, all his familiar friends, and all his priests killed, 2 Kings 10, 1-11. This was the fulfillment of that which God spoke by Elijah concerning Ahab's house. What a horrible tale that is told in 1 Kings 21, but it was because of the sins of Ahab and Jezebel that these horrible things happened to them. And doesn't this show us the wrath of God? Indeed. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sins will find you out. Well, that concludes the lesson for January 29th of 1922. And now we move into the month of February. And the first Sunday of February in 1922 was on February the 5th. And the story is the story of Elijah being taken up into heaven. We're going to read this story in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came near to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that Jehovah will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry here, I pray thee, for Jehovah hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood over against them afar off, and they two stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they went two over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I am taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That is the reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. The golden text for this lesson is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This happened in about 896 B.C. This is the introduction. Number 1, the time for Elijah to go. This lesson promptly begins with verse 1 of this chapter, which says, When Jehovah would take up Elijah by a whirlwind into heaven. In his discouragement under the juniper tree in the wilderness a few years previous to this, Elijah desired to go. But it was not God's will then to take him. There was much more for him to do. He promptly obeyed God and returned to the field of action. He was always obedient to God. He obeyed promptly and braved all dangers in doing so. And now he was old. He had been a faithful and dutiful, courageous and loyal prophet, and God was ready to take him. We're reminded here again of Paul's utterance of faith and resignation. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto him. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8 and 9. Paul preferred to go home, but so long as God had work for him on earth and it was God's will for him to remain, he was willing to do so, that in all things he might be well-pleasing to God. After his trials and struggles, conflicts and victories, Elijah, without dying, was to go up into heaven in a grand and triumphant manner by a whirlwind. And the introduction part two is Elijah and Elisha. Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Elisha had been with Elijah as his minister and disciple since Elisha's call to be a prophet. He ministered unto Elijah, 1 Kings 9:21, and poured water on his hands, 2 Kings 3 and verse 11. There were three Gilgals. One was a school of the prophets, 2 Kings 4:38. From the expression down to Bethel, 2 Kings 2:2, and the course Elijah pursued from Gilgal to Bethel and from Bethel to Jericho, it seems probable that this Gilgal was one in the hill country of Ephraim, about 8 miles north of Bethel. Also, from his being at Gilgal and from his visits now to these schools of the prophets, it is not improbable that Elijah had spent some time before this instruction with these young prophets. Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for Jehovah has sent me as far as Bethel." Elijah, Elisha, and the sons of the prophets knew that Elijah was soon to be taken away. Why then did Elijah request Elisha to remain behind? Several conjectures have been offered. It seems that Elijah was testing Elisha's fidelity and devotion in his ability to succeed him as a prophet. Elisha was a servant to Elijah, as well as a pupil, and in his faithfulness, he realized it was his duty to go with Elijah and care for him in his old age. Knowing, too, his master's departure was at hand, Elisha wanted the parting blessing to fit him more fully for his work as a prophet. His steadfastness, faithfulness, and perseverance were tested and showed he was fully qualified for the reception of the blessing. "As Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." This shows that Elisha felt it was his solemn duty to remain with Elijah. So they went down to Bethel. We're familiar with Bethel. It was about 12 miles northwest from Jerusalem. Number three of the introduction is about the sons of the prophets. While Bethel was one of the centers of worship of the calves erected by Jeroboam, 1 Kings 12:28 and 29, it was the seat of one of the schools of the prophets. It may be that this school of the prophets was started there to counteract the influence of idolatry. The sons of the prophets were young men studying under older prophets in order to prepare themselves for the work of prophets. They were not fleshly descendants of the older prophets, but students. They dwelt in such places as were suited for devotion and study. While idolatry increased, it seemed that the number attending the schools of these prophets increased, 2 Kings 6:1 and 2. These young prophets worked with their hands, 2 Kings 6:3 and 7. They learned some handicraft for future usefulness. They were married, or at least some of them were, 2 Kings 4:1. There were different schools at different places. The teacher was called master or father. We're forbidden to use master and father as religious titles, to wear any other religious title, and to seek preeminence in the church, Matthew 23:1-12. These sons of the prophets at Bethel knew Elijah would be taken away, and they informed Elisha. But Elisha knew it also. God doubtless revealed to them, as he had done to Elijah and Elisha, that Elijah was about to be translated. "Hold your peace." Elisha knew it, and it was a solemn thing for him. His course was determined. It was not necessary to discuss it. Elijah urged Elisha to tarry at Bethel while he went to Jericho, "For Jehovah has sent me to Jericho." Elijah made these movements by God's directions. Again, Elijah solemnly refused to leave Elijah, and so came to Jericho. There also was a school of the prophets. That's as far as we'll get in the lesson at this class time. If you have questions, you may text or email me at wmhboyd.com. And as the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.